Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, golf is back in a big way in Hawaii, and it is gorgeous indeed. Plus, some NFL playoff talk. I'm sure a lot of you are excited for my 2019 Patriots eulogy. Nothing like a sad, scorned Patriots fan. Yeah, you love that, Mike, don't you? It should be a great one indeed. And we got college football championship talk as well. Plus, this week's guest is Abby Witt. She's a content producer for the PGA Tour and a host of The Cut on the Golf Channel new series. We get to hear about her awesome gig and much more. But first, Mike, like I mentioned, we're here. 2019 eulogies are being given out on this episode. It's 2020 now. Pretty crazy stuff. I don't know where the time's going. But
I messed up 2019. I messed it up writing down the date the other day. It's full new year mode now.
You literally just messed it up 5 seconds ago, right?
Exactly. 2020. Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, we're in the future. Technology's here. Our phones, they're attached to our hips all day, every day. Rarely do they need a spot to sit outside of your pockets, with one exception, Mike. When you're out on the golf course, you can't have the phone in the pocket. Just a no-no. You need a spot for it. So this was a big time mystery, and fortunately, you know, where the phone needs to be when you're golfing, that's a thing of the past now. The Desert Fox came along with the phone caddy. It's the go-to phone holder for golf carts, designed to keep your phone safe and at your fingertips. It's got sliding wings and a faceplate to adjust to any smartphone model. It velcros right on it in seconds. Super easy. You can keep your yardage and scoring apps open when you need them to be seen, play music with ease, watch the game on your phone, do a little NFL playoff golf at simultaneous action. You know, who knows? Do whatever you want, all easily while you hit the course. The phone caddy is the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. So go to desertfoxgolf.com and get yours today. That's desertfoxgolf.com. They have different colors, customized options, and phone caddies that benefit great charitable causes as well. Again, that is desertfoxgolf.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to another edition of Course of Life, presented by Desert Fox Golf. This is the podcast where we talk about everything happening in the world of golf, plus other things that interest us from the world of sports and pop culture. I'm Michael, he's Alex, and Alex will save the eulogy and me piling on of what happened on Saturday evening for later on in the episode.
Right now,
let's go ahead and let's talk about the Fun in the Sun Hawaii Century Tournament of Champions, which is going to be called the Century Tournament of Champions for the next like 20 years or something.
They re-signed. They signed a
massive contract extension.
Yeah, shout out to Century. It was very, very tropical there. And Mike, the weather, it was sunny for like most of the week. And then you have those wonderful like 15 minute downpours in Hawaii where the entire storm just goes over the island in moments, and players were getting soaked. They were getting
island
muddy.
Island life.
Justin Thomas, who ended up winning the tournament though, Mike, he got mud all over his white pants. He was ticked off. He was ticked.
You know, golf is not usually a dirty game.
It's not, unless you're hitting into a 30-mile-an-hour wind in a driving rainstorm in Hawaii and the mud comes flying back at you. So that's what happened to JT, but he recovered big time. My pick, Xander Schauffele, came real close. He was down the stretch leading towards the back nine, but JT clutched when he needed to be. It ended up being a three-man playoff, Mike. JT, Schauffele, and Patrick Reed. The most hated man in golf right now. And Xander lost in the first hole. And fortunately, Mike, Captain America did not win the Century Tournament of Champions. JT does it again for win number 12.
Yeah. It was he got it to bite and sit right down next to the hole when he needed it to in that final playoff hole, and just together a lot of good rounds of golf. I do, however, want to talk about Patrick Cantlay. Can we talk about Patrick Cantlay?
Oh, yes. The other Patrick. Yeah.
Yes. You saw the video of
Mike.
Patrick Cantlay. Hot mic. All over the place. Upset about slow play. Dropping an F-bomb. Drinking some Mai Tais. It's just, I mean, aren't we all saying this every time we get up to a tee box and we have a slow group in front of us?
Yeah, so basically the cliff notes of the story is Patrick Cantlay is a golfer, and there was a hot mic on the 17th tee. And they caught him saying some things, which we haven't really figured out exactly what he was directly saying. But the coolest line of it all was, just two more holes and we get a Mai Tai. He said it directly to his caddy, and the TV mic picked it up loud and clear.
Oh, yeah.
I loved how the commentators wanted to jump down his throat for not being being entirely focused in Hawaii in the first tournament of the year in the 17th hole. I was like, will you just let the kid live? He's a millionaire.
I mean,
he plays golf for a living and he wants a Mai Tai.
A Mai Tai. He's tired of how slow the play is, which we can get all on board with slow play. He just wants to finish it up and go get some Mai Tais. Yeah, I'm okay with that. I don't got a problem with any of that.
It was a good moment. Honestly, you and I have said this for years. Let's just have all the hot mics.
Yes.
And let's go 7 second delay. We can bleep the swears out if it gets bad. Yep. But until then, let's just have all the hot mics and let's hear all this banter, because you and I both know that the player caddy conversations on the golf course are the best part of every golf telecast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Always.
Hands down.
So, I mean, it's just I'm all for that. Hashtag hot mic 2020. Let's do it.
And the other hot mic that picked up during that playoff was on Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed missed a clutch putt in the playoff with JT. And immediately a drunk enough guy in Hawaii let out a big yell of cheater. It was a great one, Mike. And everyone picked up on it. Honestly, Mike, my verdict on this, and I'm curious where you sit, is I think Patrick Reed loves this. I think he's the ultimate heel. He loves being the villain, and he probably embraces the whole thing, to be honest.
We know he does. I mean, he said it during the President's Cup press conferences before it all started. Like, he likes getting that atmosphere where they are the bad guy, where they're not the favorite at the field. So I think he does like to feed off that energy. It hasn't really turned into anything yet for him, but more power to him. If he wants to be the bad guy, if he wants to be the evil umpire, go right ahead.
And he was in all black, Mike. It was a perfect outfit for it. It just fit. It fit so well on Sunday and went late night, almost got pretty dark there towards the end. And JT pulled it out. Longest drive of the week was like 450 something yards. I forget who hit it, but
just 450.
Fun week in Hawaii for sure. And we're doing it again next week with the Sony Open.
That's right. They're going to stay in Hawaii. They're going to keep playing in the fun and sun.
Classic course.
Classic course.
So you'll appreciate this. Were you an N64 or PlayStation guy as a kid? What were you?
As a kid, I didn't have anything, actually.
Oh, man. Well, so I was an N64 kid, and Wailea Country Club was literally an N64 game. There was no other courses. It was just one course. It was like a 1998 N64 release with horrible graphics. But I know every single hole of this course that they're playing this week inside and out, because I played that game way too many times as a kid growing up.
You know what I do remember playing, though? I think I played something on the PC. I don't remember what it was.
Yes, that was the Lynx Golf or whatever it was called.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know.
Vintage Arnold Palmer on it. I know what you're talking about. People back home are getting that memory for sure.
Yeah. Back in the day when we didn't have the interwebs.
Yeah, good classic golf video talk. But yeah, it's Sony Open, Wailea Country Club, Hawaii Part 2. This one, even more wind typically in this one. You get some crazy yardages, 30, 40 mile an hour winds at times. So should be a fun one. I didn't take a look at the field, Mike. I know JT is there trying to go back to back. So until all else fails, he's definitely the favorite this week again.
I mean, he's there. Patrick Reed is still there.
Oh, perfect.
So we could have another 2 week duel.
It could be
all fun and games.
Good Hawaii stuff in golf right now.
Yeah, exactly. You know what else is coming up soon?
Yes.
Scottsdale.
Oh, man. Mike, I can't wait to tell you about this and everyone. This itinerary is getting very serious. I just want to let you know.
Let's just back up for a second. For those that don't know, Alex is going to Scottsdale for the Waste Management Phoenix Open. He'll be there with his microphone. It's going to be a good week.
Yeah, me and a hot mic for 3 days.
Oh, yeah. Scottsdale. Super hot.
Very hot, Mike.
Smoking hot.
We're going to be hitting balls with a reality television star. We're going to be doing a makeshift episode of Bizarre Foods, trying random animals that you wouldn't dare eat on a plate. We're going to be at the tournament all day Saturday. We're potentially going to a concert put on by a guest who's been on this podcast before. There is a lot cooking up right now. I'll just tease it and leave it right there. But there's a lot to look forward to content-wise from us in the next few weeks. I just did a great interview with a pro based in the Scottsdale area as well, which you have to look forward to. So just everyone be on alert. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere you can, because there's going to be some really, really great stuff coming from that weekend. I can't wait to get to the desert.
Let's move over to pop politics. Before we get into chapter 2 of your Christmas present, Let's talk about the Democratic primaries.
New updates?
Julian Castro is out.
Oh no, I did not hear this at all.
In case you missed it. Happened January 2nd.
Must have not calendar been a big flipped. News story, I guess.
Calendar flipped and he went, I'm done.
Wow. I didn't even realize that. Man, yeah. Another one bites the dust, huh?
He's out. And then Marianne Williamson, you remember
yes,
her?
Yes, she's the one that wants to win with love, right?
Yes, that's her plan. Win with love, yeah. Exactly. We're just going to have a giant love-in. She has so much love that she has fired her entire staff. Everyone gone, all of them. But she hasn't dropped out of the race yet.
Oh, I love that. It's such a stubborn move. It's like, I'm canceling all funding and I'm not paying anyone. However, I'm not giving up. I'm not done yet. Don't mistake that from being done.
I'm not going to campaign anymore, but I'm still running. I'm still here.
In case something happens wild, you know, and I start getting votes out of nowhere, who knows? I do remember her vaguely. I just remember she wants to win with love and she's an author. Yeah. So best of luck to her.
I think she was on the debate stage maybe once. I don't know.
Yeah, she was maybe. At the beginning. I look forward to seeing who's going to replace Julian Castro, though, Mike, because we can't trim the field. We obviously have to add people now.
That's right. For every two to drop out, one needs to enter the field. That's the way it works right now.
Make sure to follow us for those updates as well.
I'm not sure who's left to run, but maybe Bill will put it in. He can't. Hillary. Hillary's going to run. Just watch. Hillary's going to get in now.
I love that idea. I love it. It's not too late.
I really don't like that idea. Let's move over to your ongoing review of Commander in Chief,
yes.
The golf book about Trump on the golf course. Of course, last week we talked about his 18 club championships, quote unquote, club championships.
16 were false, 2 were undecided, and 0 were true. Correct.
Yep. So what we got this week? What's in chapter 2?
Well, it was presidents pre-Trump on the golf course. So we didn't get too much into Donnie himself. Yeah. We did a little look back and you know your stuff, you know politics, and you know guys who golf. The one I want to tell you about is Billigan's, sponsored by President Bill Clinton. So Bill Clinton, pretty avid golfer in his time.
Yeah.
However, his move, Mike, was he would hit his first ball and then he wouldn't say, I want a mulligan or I'm going to hit another. He would then just hit about 7 or 8 balls. He would say after ball number one that he was going to play ball number one. But what he would do is he would hit so many balls out in the fairway that you forgot at that point which ball was actually his. And then he would just play the one that's closest to the hole. So that was Bill Clinton's Billigan's. And that was kind of his strategy to get better at the game. So
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah. Just play like 3 or 4 balls and just pick whichever one's closest. It's like a giant scramble with just yourself on a one-man team. It's great.
Yeah. I like it.
It was Clinton, and then they got into a funny story, which you'll appreciate. Hillary Rodham Clinton, who we just mentioned, had a brother who played at Wingfoot. He arrived in shorts, which is an absolute no-no at Wingfoot.
Yep.
He's a gigantic guy, large around the waist. There were little to no options for pants for him in the clubhouse pro shop. So a clubhouse attendant went into the Wingfoot clubhouse and grabbed the pants of guess who, Mike, who also has a locker at the Wingfoot clubhouse. Who else's
Donald
pants would you grab?
J. Trump.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yes.
So Hillary Rodham Clinton's brother has worn Donald Trump's pants for 18 holes. Needless to say, Trump was very mad about this when he found out about it after the fact. So Hillary may not have won the battle with the election, but she certainly won the war of petty acts on the golf course. Indeed. So that was a great story. I thought you'd appreciate.
That's pretty good. I have jokes I could say, but I want to keep the podcast family friendly. So
there you go. I appreciate
that. Let's just
move on. No kids allowed. The last one was the day in 95, the infamous one. Bush, when President Bush, President Clinton, and Gerald Ford all played together with Bob Hope out at the Desert Classic there. Very famous photo. Only time I think you've gotten 3 presidents golfing, to my knowledge, in my lifetime at least.
Well, not I sure mean, I don't think any of them are going to play with Trump.
Yeah. So what would we would be looking at Trump, Obama, Clinton right now? Well, yeah. All right,
that's
well.
Not. Well,
2 out of 3 is
doable. Trump, Obama, Bush.
Yeah. Barack might settle. He could settle and join the two of them.
I think you could see Obama, Bush, Clinton because
I think so.
Bush and Clinton are best buds now. So
that should happen if it already hasn't. So if anyone has any record of that, I'm at Course of Life One on Twitter. You're at MWRINC. If there has been three presidents, that would probably be the most likely combo, I would say. So that was chapter two in Commander and Cheat on presidents playing golf pre-Trump.
Let's move over to this week's featured guest, shall we? It's Abby Witt from the PGA Tour. She works for HQ for the tour at TPC Sawgrass.
Awesome.
And she can be seen on PGA Tour The Cut, airing on Golf Channel Weekly. We'll get into that conversation in a second. But first, you can follow us on Facebook at Course of Life Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. He's at Course of Life One. I'm at MWRINC. And if you follow us on Facebook, you're also going to see a way to save some money on some golf equipment.
That's right. Golf training aids.
GolfTrainingAids.com. Yeah. If you go over to our Facebook page, click the link in the offer and use promo code COL10, you'll save 10% off your entire order at their store. Get some cool training aids so you can improve your game and save some money while you're at it. Again, head over to our Facebook page. That's Course of Life Podcast on Facebook. Click the link in the offer and use promo code COL10 to save 10% off your order at GolfTrainingAids.com.
Next up on the tee, originally from Kentucky, she's now based out of the Jacksonville, Florida area at the PGA Tour HQ, producing content for the tour. You can see her on The Cut, a new rebranded series on the Golf Channel. It's Abby Witt joining the Course of Life. Abby, thanks for taking the time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Definitely. So again, for everyone following, it's Abby Witt 13 on Instagram, where I first connected with you. And you had kind of a similar path as I did a lot of broadcasting oriented things throughout your college career. I'm curious, kind of, you know, post-college, that hunt looking for a job in media, just in general, it's always very competitive.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what that was like, kind of, you know, learning broadcasting in school and then coming out and maybe the first, you know, break that you had in media and sports media in specific, because I know it's not easy.
Oh, it's definitely not easy at all. But I actually credit my experience in college to getting me to the tour pretty quickly after. I graduated in 2017, so I'm 24 now. I'll be 25 at the end of the month. And I went to Asbury University. It's in a really small town outside Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay.
My dean, Jim Owens, there, he actually works also with the Olympic Broadcasting Services. So when I was in school there, it was near time for the Rio Olympics.
Right,
As I was finishing up my junior year. And thankfully, Dr. Owens selected me to go with him to the 2016 Olympic Games. And whenever you do an internship with OBS, you don't get to choose your sport. So that you can have a list of a few that you would be interested in. And, you know, this is the one that golf is being played for the first time in over 100 years. And I grew up a golfer. I've always loved golf, but I actually picked swimming as my first choice because I always wanted to see Michael Phelps race.
Don't blame you. Yeah.
Yeah. But thankfully it worked out that I was chosen to be at the Olympic golf course, and you meet the right people, you network. And thankfully I met incredible people there who became instant friends. And I went back to school, kept in touch with them, finished my senior year. And I was working at a local station in Lexington as I finished out that year right before graduation. And this job opportunity presented itself at the PGA Tour shortly after. And I jumped on it. I couldn't resist because I always knew sports broadcasting is what I wanted to do. And I had such a passion for golf. So I say it was meant to be. Everything in my life just worked out how it was supposed to.
Yeah, and that trip to Rio must have been awesome networking for sure. Like the best minds in sports media all kind of congregating there for a couple of weeks. And golf specifically was really cool there. We actually had a chance to interview a woman who played in the tournament representing Mexico, Alejandra Yaneza. And she talked a lot about her experience there and how much that really helped catapult her career. She's now winning on the Symetra Tour, and hopefully you'll see her on the LPGA pretty soon. She couldn't go on enough about how cool that experience was in Brazil. So definitely a really cool foot in the door for you in broadcasting. And now we kind of fast forward now for your role now working with the tour. So you mentioned all the golf contacts you made there. Tell me about kind of that moment when you had the opportunity or the offer was put in front of you to go, you know, live and work at PGA Tour headquarters. It's definitely kind of something daunting that a lot of golf fans probably dream of in terms of a job that they could get.
It was a dream come true. And it was terrifying at the same time because, you know, I'm a Kentucky girl. I'd only ever lived in Kentucky. I had done internships in other states as well, like Washington. I was in Washington, D.C. one summer and some other places. But so I've always traveled. But the thought of leaving my family and friends terrified me. But at the same time, I'm a person who follows your gut 100%. Whatever your gut says, go with it. And my gut, no doubt, was like, you got to do this. And I wanted to do it. So bit the bullet, took the job, and never have looked back. It's been incredible. I work with the best people on earth. They're so sweet. They're like family sometimes. And I'm very fortunate to be in the role that I am now. But yeah, it was scary at first. I can't lie.
Definitely. Yeah. And coming from someone with a little bit more life experience than you, I'm in my 30s, looking back on my 20s. When I was a year removed from college, I bit the bullet and moved from the Northeast to Austin, Texas. And I've been here ever since. It's the greatest decision I ever made. So hopefully,
that scares me.
Hopefully your decision to move away is definitely paying off. And I can see it already because of, you know, what I've already seen with the content that you put out. So talk a little bit, I guess, just give everyone a little kind of brief 30,000 foot view of kind of what you do at the tour right now. We'll get into the cuts specifically, but okay, kind of what your role is working for the PGA Tour and just kind of the vision and what the goals are there currently in terms of the content that's getting put out directly from the PGA Tour to golf fans.
Yeah. So I am a content producer on the long form team at PGA Tour Entertainment. And we, for a long time, produced Inside the PGA Tour and a lot of network specials for NBC and CBS. So we're always generating content. We're writing scripts. I get to travel a lot and be in the field and do the interviews with players, field produce a lot. That's my favorite thing about this job. But from the tour side, we love to tell stories. We love to tell the player stories and let you see a side of them that you don't get to see as they're playing 18 holes of golf. So that's really fun. We get to combine telling the story of their talents as well as outside interests. So that's a little bit about what I do. I produce a lot of content.
Nice. And yeah, and you mentioned stories with golf. And that's one of the unique parts about golf versus other sports is not only are you able to kind of really get so close and interact so directly with these players, but there's so many different stories. You know, you've profiled players that are, you know, well-established and been on tour for decades and known by millions, and also guys that have been toiling on many tours for years and have one amazing week, which completely changes their life. So there's kind of a wide variety of experiences that you get to see. Let's talk a little bit about the cut that you mentioned. So a lot of golf fans will know Inside the PGA Tour as a weekly series. It's been around forever. And now it's been kind of rebranded into the cut. Now I want to just kind of ask you kind of what went into that process and what we can expect now in 2020 with that TV series.
Yeah, mainly with the cut, we just wanted to modernize what we were already doing. We wanted to rebrand. We wanted to make it more contemporary, more fun. You're going to see a lot of storytelling that I mentioned. You're going to see a lot of player profiles. We're going to do fun things with the players that you would have generally seen in the past, but we want to also showcase them in different lights too. And, you know, I don't want to give too much away because I do want to create some anticipation for you to
Definitely.
Tune in.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of fun content to come, and we want you guys to get to know the players and feel like you're right there with them every step of the way.
Any tease at all, and any spot or state or maybe course you'll be at or something that you can throw out there to dangle the carrot for future episodes coming up this year?
Ooh, well, we had a nice trip at the Greenbrier this past fall that you'll see in an upcoming episode. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then I'm actually getting to go to Torrey Pines for the first time in a few weeks to film some things for the cut there.
Nice.
And I'm very excited to visit that course because I've heard incredible things.
Yeah, both the North and the South too. Two really cool courses right on the water. I've never been either. I have a trip coming up to Phoenix. I'm going to the Waste Management and getting some interviews done. Are you heading out there this year or hope to get out there anytime soon?
I'm actually not this year. I was there last year and that was my first time at Waste Management, and that was an experience in itself. Yeah. So
yeah, I'm very excited. We're going to be doing a little food tour. There's going to be a lot of content coming out of me that weekend, trying to get some box seats on 16, of course, because that's what you have to do on Saturday. So it should be a crazy time for sure. What sort of experience did you have when you were at 16 or covering the tournament?
At 16, I remember I got there early the day before we started filming, and I wanted a C-16. You hear about it. It's hyped up. I go out there and it lives up to the hype. These fans are incredible. They're so fun to watch. And it's just, it's a way that you don't ever see golf. And yeah, that was the coolest thing about it. Like, what you see on TV is actually what it is in person.
It's nuts. And for people who don't have any idea, at this tournament in Phoenix on mainly Saturday, every other day is pretty lit too, but mostly Saturday, the first group does not even play on the 16th hole until about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. And at 7 a.m., the bleachers are completely full of people already getting their party on, starting things out real early. It's quite a scene for golf fans or just fans of entertainment in general. So
yeah, we were there to shoot the Breakfast Club, and to see them storming on 16, it was pretty impressive.
I'm debating making that run at dawn. I don't know if my wife is going to enjoy doing that at first thing in the morning, but I'm debating maybe making that jog from the gate to 16. So we'll see how that goes.
You better start training now. It's kind of a long jog.
Yeah, it is. I've heard it's like a little over a mile or something like that. You got to kind of pace yourself.
Close. It is not close.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah. I mean, so we touched on that. That's kind of an example of a lot of the changing of the guard that you're seeing in golf and the way the game's being covered and how that's changing. With, you know, profiles and platforms and storytellers like yourself and myself with the podcast that we do, there's a lot of younger, kind of fresher platforms that are a lot more socially engaging. Just kind of talk about like that difference in kind of how golf is being covered now, you know, socially and how the players are so much more accessible to be connected to fans in 2020.
Yeah, it's really cool to see how media has evolved, and especially here recently. And thanks to social media and thanks to the players being so open and generous with their time and different things that you can see from a broadcast or from television shows like The Cut or formerly Inside the PGA Tour, you feel like you know the players a little bit more. You're seeing a different side of them. And that's because media has made the world such a smaller place. And I think it's such a great thing because you just relate to people better. And when you relate to people better, you want to watch them. And I've loved seeing that.
Definitely. And for golf fans, like everyone, myself and everyone listening back home, it's really, when we're watching a show like The Cut, you know, it's nice to have the highlights and the recap of what happened the previous week. But the really cool thing that we like to see is, you know, John Rahm hiking through, you know, Hawaii with his, you know, fiance, now wife, you know, like the things that are completely off the course where you can see them detached from the game and really get to know their personality outside the ropes. That's definitely what helps make your show unique for sure.
Right. And these guys are incredible athletes and they are blessed with an amazing talent, but they're also people and they have interests and they do things off the course too. So I think it's important to showcase that side of them as well and humanize them a little bit.
Definitely. Cool. So again, it's Abby Witt 13 on Instagram. I'll let you shout out the rest of the spots where we can find your content, but just a few quick questions to end things here. Let's get into some of your favorites. You mentioned that you've done a ton of traveling in golf. So I'm curious, just from a spectator perspective, first off, what's like your favorite golf course or golf venue that you visited working for the tour?
Oh, that is a difficult question. That question's kind of like asking someone, what's your favorite movie or what's your favorite song? Like you could list off 10.
What's your favorite kid?
Exactly. But oh man, I love Riviera. Visiting there was
really,
it was gorgeous. And I love LA. I've always loved LA. Quail Hollow is one that sticks out too. It's spectacular. And East Lake, I love the way that course is designed. Recently in the past few months, I got to visit Old White TPC at the Greenbrier. And that one stuck out to me more than anything because it kind of felt like I was home because I'm from Eastern Kentucky. I'm from the mountains.
Yeah. And a lot of country vibes there.
A lot of country vibes. Those are my people. And being there felt like home. And I think when you travel as much as I do, when you find those places, when you're there for such a short amount of time and they do feel like home, that's really special. So that's why Greenbrier is one that sticks out pretty heavily too.
Yeah, I feel like, and just I haven't been there from what I've seen on the screen, Greenbrier is like a gigantic like nature preserve photography lesson, like with golf on the side. That's what it looks like to me on camera.
There were so many fun things going around there too. So that week was special.
Nice. So, and on a related note to that, you've been to all these great venues in golf. I'm sure producing that content, you're spending time in these clubhouses. I want to know, like, what is the coolest like clubhouse or like indoor golf setup you've seen? I know people talk about, you know, the milkshakes at Memorial and the random food items and different stops of the tour. Like, what's maybe the coolest thing that you've seen inside of a clubhouse or a unique, you know, indoor venue around the game of golf?
My favorite clubhouse, no doubt, TPC Sawgrass in Ponte Vedra, Florida.
Home turf, yeah.
Home turf there. It's spectacular. When you drive up the road, there's no view like it. And then it's gorgeous on the inside. You've got so much history there. So TPC Sawgrass all day.
And so where you work and produce content, is it directly attached to that building or is it within the facility or town itself? Like, give us kind of a lay of the land of that whole property, because I know it's very vast.
Yeah, so PGA Tour HQ is right next to Sawgrass. We've got some buildings on the outskirts too as well. And then PGA Tour Entertainment, where we do a lot of media, is further down on the outskirts of St. Augustine, Florida. So it's not far at all. We're all right in the general vicinity.
Nice. And for anyone who hasn't seen that, just get on Google right now and type in TP Sawgrass Clubhouse. They renovated it a few weeks ago and it looks royal. Honestly, I would feel like a member of the royal family walking through those front doors.
It's now, you know why I love it so much when I go.
Yeah, definitely. And then the last one I want to ask, which we ask a lot of our guests, is when you're done playing around a golf, if you have time to hit the course, you finish, say, you know, with a great 18th hole. We're big 19th hole fans, obviously, on the podcast. So I want to know what's your favorite like post round or post work day meal and drink that you like to have in, say, the TPC Sawgrass Clubhouse?
Oh, in the TPC Sawgrass Clubhouse or just in general?
Just in general. Well, the best one you've had.
I'm kind of dorky. I'm a creature of habit, and oatmeal and peanut butter is my favorite food in the world.
Oh, wow. Well, there's a remarkably healthy answer compared to what I've gotten before.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, oatmeal and peanut butter when I'm doing any sort of intense physical activity, that is my go-to. And I don't know why I love it. It's kind of like a healthy Reese cup if you want to throw a little dark chocolate in there. Just a friendly hint from me. Pro tips with Abby. But yeah, that's my go-to meal when I'm playing golf.
Good suggestion for sure. So again, Abby, it's The Cut and it airs on Golf Channel weekly. Tell us kind of where else they can find more of your content or learn more about what you're doing at the tour.
Yeah, you can find our content on our social platforms as well, with PGA Tour on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on our YouTube channel, Golf Channel. You can see it on their social platforms as well when they promote The Cut. And then PGA Tour Entertainment on Instagram. We'll be throwing out some teasers there as well. So stay tuned. It's going to be pretty fun.
Very exciting. Hey, Abby, best of luck with everything that you produce this year on The Cut. We'll be watching for sure. And especially Torrey Pines, maybe a couple of Instagram stories from the clubhouse or something. Let's get a little inside look at what that looks like for the pros. I'm sure we'd love to all see that.
I'll hit you up with some.
Definitely. Cool. Awesome. Hey, Abby, thanks for joining The Course of Life. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
Back. Great chat there with Abby. Looking forward to seeing those clubhouse photos from Torrey Pines in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
How can we get a job doing this for the PGA Tour?
I know. Working at HQ, TPC Sawgrass in her backyard.
Headed
right behind her office, headed to Torrey Pines in a couple weeks. I mean, where do we miss out, Mike? You know, where did it go? Where did it all go? Nah, shout out to Abby. She was a great guest, and we look forward to having her on again, hopefully. And yeah, we'll be looking out for those clubhouse shots from Torrey. Apparently, it's pretty legendary there. Nice view of the water. So look out for everything she's doing with The Cut on the Golf Channel as well. Basically, a rebranded version of what everyone knows is Inside the PGA Tour back in the day. They rebranded it, turned it into The Cut, and you'll see a lot more Abby there for sure weekly.
Let's move over to college football. Did you know that it's still bowl season?
It is so much so that the night we record this, Monday night, the 6th, there's still a random bowl game with two crappy teams. It's unbelievable how many there are. I marvel in every single moment of it. We had the Idaho Potato Bowl last week. We're really getting in the weeds. But fortunately, after this week, Mike, it's just one. It's just one. There's just one more game next Monday, the 13th, LSU Clemson, the one that everyone cares about.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that game will be important.
It will.
I think so.
It's going to matter. It's going to matter. It's LSU, Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy winner, LSU undefeated, unanimous number one poll team all year. Clemson, my guys, Trevor Lawrence, 750-something days since he's lost a football game, Mike. I'm not betting against him. I will not make that bet. So you got LSU and I got Clemson. And we made that wager. We have it. We have the largest coffee possible from yes. Starbucks. We made
whatever
the wager.
You want.
Very simple. No money yep. wagers needed when you do it on the nope. Settle It app. Again, that's yeah. SETTLYT, the Settle It app. It's really
easy. So easy.
Super
so easy.
Easy. You just pick a friend from your contacts, link yep. your Facebook account, invite them to join. You can wager anything, money, push-ups, next round to the bar, you decide. Send
whatever
it to
you
your friend or family member. Everything you create is stored in your account for you to track and update. You can trash talk in there. It's basically like where all your group text should meet and just settle all the arguments you have.
Yeah.
They should just meet at Settle It. We can just determine who's right about everything we debate about every day.
And you just see everything right there so that you're going to be kept to the facts, to what the bet actually was. So there's none of this like, that's not what I said.
Exactly. There's no arguing the points here with Settle It. It's where competition goes and stays and lives. So again, you have LSU straight up. I have Clemson straight up. I'm not betting against Clemson again. Won't do it. Lost too much money doing it. But you can head to the App Store on your phone and download Settle It today. Again, that's Settle It, SETTLYT, and wager with us. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So enjoy that.
I mean, I can't wait to drink a venti mocha soy triple shot extra whipped cream.
All the espresso, right?
All the espresso on your dime.
Yeah.
Because I'll win with LSU.
We'll see next Monday. So that's our first wager. We'll do many more. And here's your tease, Mike. I know you can. I'll let you do a little grave stomping first. But our next wager might be on the future of Tom Brady. That's Ooh. What it could be. So.
Well, you know, I said it on Twitter.
Say it.
And I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere.
Boy, I hope not, Mike, because that was a rough ending to the Patriots season.
That was one of the most surprising endings to a football game in terms of Tom Brady did diddly squat.
Yeah, and the internet
just
rejoiced.
Nothing.
I said to my wife, Mike, the way that Twitter looked on Sunday morning, you would have thought that we killed Osama bin Laden again. That's how celebratory the world was on Twitter.
It was
rejoicing in the streets for Tom Brady and the Patriots losing their wild card game. And
I mean, let's just say it. Let this next weekend is going to be the first weekend in 10 years, the first divisional round weekend in 10 years that the Patriots are not playing a football game.
It's wild.
10 years.
This is the first time of me living. I've been living in Texas for 9 years and I've never been in this position before.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do in January? What do you do?
We've never been college graduates, Alex. And had this happen before.
Absolutely insane stats from the Patriots' reign. And yeah, I mean, listen, wherever you want to put it in terms of is this over? Is this ending? Is this on the downfall? The numbers are there. You know, the 6 championships are already there. I've had the conversations with my friend, you know, bringing everyone back down to earth and realizing that what happened last year to get number 6 for Brady and Belichick was unbelievably amazing in and of itself to win in Kansas City and win the Super Bowl. Anything after that really truly is gravy in terms of, you know, the sports pantheon of greatness. So while I'm pissed and while it's depressing and while I can't believe the Patriots did not make it out of wild card weekend, they got trounced by Derrick Henry and the Titans. You have to kind of look at what they've done from a collective body of work and realize that I can't be too upset, big picture.
No, and I think you have to look at the game as well. This was because I don't have cable, the first game I actually watched in its entirety all season. But I will say that it was clear that the Patriots offensive line could not protect Tom Brady.
Not long
and
enough,
Tom Brady had no weapons. He had nothing he could throw to. So you get him one more wide receiver, you get him a bulked up offensive line, and they're going to be in the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great guy named Rob Gronkowski who decided to retire through the offseason.
He's allowed.
That didn't
he's
help.
Allowed.
know, that didn't help. We had a great receiver named Antonio Brown who went off the radar and went absolutely nuts on us, and we lost that.
I feel like great wide receiver is a bit of a stretch right now.
Right now, he's TBD. Yeah, we had Josh Gordon. He did too many drugs, so we couldn't keep him on the team. So there's just a lot of things that fell not Tom Brady's way offensively. And then when Derrick Henry just runs all over the Patriots defense and there's nothing that they can do to stop it, no matter how many people they put there, it leads to a loss at Gillette Stadium. As crazy as
you know what, though, with even with him running all over the Patriots, they still kept that offense to 14 points.
Yeah, it's why it shows you still pretty impressive how much of a throw happy league this is, that you can do all that on the ground and still only put 14 points on the board. But guess what? Yep. It was enough. They ended up winning 2013 after the ugly pick six to end. And yeah, we'll discuss maybe next week as we get into the meat of the offseason once the playoffs pass. But I think there'll be a settled wager regarding maybe Tom Brady's future or what's maybe in his contract. We'll have to iron that one out in the next few weeks, but going to be a drama filled offseason for Patriots fans for sure.
It will be indeed. Some other action that happened over the weekend: the Bills
the poor Bills
shot themselves in the foot. They took all the folding tables in Houston and they did it for nothing.
This is so sad. It was right before the Patriots game, so I wasn't depressed yet, so I was just thinking, oh, the poor Bills, they blow a 16-0 lead, they had a chance in overtime, they were just one tackle away from ending Deshaun Watson in the Texans season, could not bring him down, the third and 18. It all went against them. They lost in overtime, and the Texans will now move on. They'll go play in Kansas City instead of what we thought would be the Patriots.
Another team that I was pretty sure we were going to see New Orleans this next weekend, but we're not, because the Vikings beat the Saints.
Ridiculous. Mind-blowing.
What? Oh, my God.
Kirk Cousins.
We're gonna have a divisional weekend with no Tom Brady and no Drew Brees. What is going on?
That is wild. Jesus, I didn't put that together either. God dang. Yeah, usually if you root for the old guys, if Brady's out, at least you can root for Drew Brees. But he was looking very old on Sunday as well. And Kirk Cousins went on the road and won an important game. That is mind-blowing. I can't believe I just said that, but that actually happened. And Vikings advance. Shout out to Minnesota. That I did not see coming.
The one thing we did see coming was the Eagles losing to the Seahawks.
Yeah. Shout out to Russell Wilson.
The NFC East is really the minor leagues of the NFL right now. So
definitely. And so Carson Wentz hit again, knocked out of the game. Injury
he's healthy
number
for
17.
A full season until the playoffs.
Injury number 17. Like, they bring out Josh McCown, who was literally retired earlier this year. Retired. And he obviously couldn't do anything. So the Seahawks advance. So should be interesting. Vikings going to San Francisco. I don't give them a shot against Jimmy G. I don't think Kirk Cousins can do lightning in a bottle twice. And Seahawks, Packers, Mike, Russell Wilson versus Aaron Rodgers. That's a good matchup.
Going to be a great game.
Yeah, those will be good divisional rounds. So listen, I'm depressed. I'll casually watch the divisional round. It's going to be weird not seeing Tom out there. But the playoffs roll on.
Let me walk you through what you do in this scenario, because I know you've never had this before. Yeah. So let me tell you what you do in this scenario. You could just go cold turkey and just not watch anything.
I was debating that's one option. I did that on Sunday, and then I had to see the highlights. I was just dying for the highlights by the time nightfall hit. So
this point, what you got to do is you either got to pick a team in the other
I think
conference.
I got to go Jimmy G, right? Don't I? I have to.
An NFC team at this point. And the logical choice for you is to go Patriots lineage. And go.
Then I'll never hear the end of it.
Go over San Francisco.
I'll never hear the end of it if he does. It's like a catch-22. I want to root for him, but I also don't want to see him win. So, I'll have to figure that out in the next few weeks. We'll see.
Lesser of two evils. Pick your lesser of two evils.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be great. Hey, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, let's do it. So it's diet month, Mike.
Yes,
Listen to this. So far, 6 days into January, I have not had a piece of bread. We're going low carbs. Yep. And I have not had a sip of alcohol, Mike. I'm going dry January. This is year three in a row that I'm trying to do this. I have put together a streak now. I'm going for 3 years in a row of dry January. So it's in effect. So I've been doing a lot of soup and salad. That just seems to be kind of what I'm falling back on for my meals, trying to stay healthy. So that kind of brings up, I got to know, because we've had a lot of meals together, but it's been a while since we've had them together. Yep. What do you have for like top soups and salads? What are on your list? Let's do a mini draft here.
I got a couple. I don't do a lot of soups, but I do have a couple salads that I really like. There's
give me one.
The one I really like, which is was salmon. So you don't need a big portion of salmon because it's a fatty fish as it is, but it's good for you. And it's a kale salad with Honeycrisp apples, figs, or no, not figs, dates, Parmesan cheese, and slivered almonds.
That is elevated.
And it's literally just in oil and lemon juice. And that's it for the salad. And you serve it and you just do crispy salmon. So you get the skin really crisp. It's fantastic. It's easy. It's quick. It does, you know, it's mostly pantry ingredients, except maybe for the salmon. And it's good stuff.
So I've been doing salmon with Caesar salad. Great combo as well too.
Yep.
I would take Greek salad off the board. I love a good Greek or Mediterranean salad. Would you go like a cob or a chef salad if you had to choose?
If I had to choose, I'd go chef. I actually did a different salad tonight. I did a roasted Brussels sprout salad.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah,
getting out there.
Roasted Brussels sprouts on a bed of field greens with carrots and craisins and some Parmesan, and then a dressing was a Greek yogurt balsamic dressing.
Nice. My soups, I was thinking about my top three in my head. I'd say no particular order. I have to shout out clam chowder. It'd be sacrilege to my family and friends if I didn't.
Shout out.
And then I've been going a lot of broccoli and cheese and tomato basil is a classic too. Those are my three.
The problem with like a broccoli cheddar is that it is not healthy.
It's not.
So it's not.
Most of it has been a broccoli soup. Shout out to Salada in Texas. Great chain, just like Chipotle for salads. So yeah, broccoli cheddar, then you're kind of you're low carb, but yeah, you're not in the healthiest form of soup for sure. No. But those would be my top three. So that's soup and salad life for January. We'll see if I hold up for the rest of the month. I'll report back next week.
And, that could be a settle bet. Yeah. That could be a bet.
That could be actually. Do I make it? Really, honestly, I think the bread's gonna be harder than the alcohol. I think the alcohol is gonna be easier to hold off on than the bread. Oh, bread is crushing me, right?
I've been going 33 years without a drink of alcohol, Alex. Yeah. I can't go 2 days without a piece of bread.
There you go. So. That answers the question right there. So we'll keep tabs on that. More solid wagers to come on the course of life. And next week it's more golf to recap from the Big Island. Ooh, we're gonna have a college football champion. That's right.
We will.
The coffee will go out as well. And more NFL playoff talk and much more, and a great guest. All coming up on next week's episode of Course of Life. For Mike, I'm Alex. Everyone have a good week.